20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Happy draft week. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We made it. We made it to draft week. It is officially here. We have unbelievable shows lined up for you all week long on the audio podcast right here on this channel. We're going to be doing tons of live Q&As. Check the full schedule. I posted on Twitter. I posted in the community post on YouTube. We've got a ton going on, and there's going to be a lot Monday night, 7 p.m. Justice Mosqueda and I are going to be doing a live draft Q&A. So join that. Ask all the questions that you want. There is either a live Q&A or an in-person Q&A or a live draft party or both every single day, Monday through Saturday this week. And I'll probably end up doing something on Sunday too, but it is going to be a wild and crazy week. I cannot wait. The one I want to plug right now is the Hagemeister Park, 7 p.m. Wednesday, obviously Central Time right here in Green Bay. I'm going to be doing that live in-person Q&A and meet and greet, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Again, this Wednesday, Hagemeister Park. Get out, come enjoy the live Q&A. They've got great food, great drinks. It's going to be a ton of fun. Hope to see you guys there. Again, 7 p.m. Central Time. Ask all the draft questions that you want. We'll get to as much as we possibly can. 2-hour live Q&A, 7 to 9, right here in Green Bay at Hagemeister Park. Really, really looking forward to that. All right. We're going to get right into it today because we've got a lot to get into. We are doing the top 25 Packers, or the top 25 prospects that are most likely to become Green Bay Packers in this draft. Now, I want to be totally transparent right up front. I think this is the hardest draft to predict in the Brian Gutekunst era. I'm going through all of these players and kind of cross-checking notes and reviewing Green Bay's trends and looking at like just different aspects of it. I think the hard aspect of this, number one is, you know, it's not like these last couple of years where they've had multiple picks in the first few rounds, which again gives you a little bit more opportunity to select maybe multiple players at multiple positions and those sort of things. You have three top 100 picks. You've got five day three picks. And then, you know, kind of where you go in the first round, really, and then in the second round, really kind of alters your draft from there on out. You know, you have kind of four positions of need: corner, offensive line, pass rush, you know, defensive end, defensive tackle, wherever you want to go there, and then wide receiver. And you can sort of stack it in a million different ways where you go receiver first, and then you take a corner, and then a defensive end. You go defensive end first, and then a corner, then a wide receiver. Like, you're, again, sort of figuring out this Rubik's Cube of how the right order sort of situates itself that you get this draft that ultimately Green Bay could have. And to be fair, we're not trying to solve a problem here. We're not trying to perfectly predict the seven rounds of Green Bay's draft. That's foolhardy. It's never going to happen, but it is fun to kind of look at what are the likely players to be selected by Green Bay. What are their types? And, you know, who should we kind of be taking a look at as we get ready for Thursday? And as you want to put your big board together, or, you know, just if you want a cheat sheet on sort of, hey, I'm just getting into the draft now, and I don't have time to go through 400 prospects who are the, you know, maybe 20, 25 guys I should really keep an extra eye on. Well, here you go. This is what we're going to be doing today. And over the last 2 years of doing this, we've done pretty good. So in 2023, on that list was Lucas Van Ness, Dontavian Wicks, Tucker Kraft, and then Grant Dubose was one of my honorable mentions. So I hit three of the top 25 in that draft. Of my top 25 were selected by Green Bay, including, you know, their first rounder in LVN, their third rounder in Tucker Kraft, and a, you know, fifth rounder in Dontavian Wicks. And then again, Grant Dubose was on my list of honorable mentions. So kind of hit on four of those in that episode. Last year, Jordan Morgan was on the list. Edrin Cooper was on the list. Javon Bullard was on the list. Donovan Jennings was on the list, and Ketanu Adapo. Now, Jennings wasn't drafted, but of course he was their, basically their biggest priority undrafted free agent. So we had five guys on that list of 25 that ultimately did become Green Bay Packers. So we've done a pretty good job of identifying some Packer players on this list. A couple notes before we get into it. Number one, this again isn't to try to get all these right. For example, like last year, I had Jordan Morgan. I also had Tyler Guyton. There was zero worlds in which Jordan Morgan and Tyler Guyton were both going to be Green Bay Packers. Like, I'm saying that they're both Green Bay types. I know I'm not going to get both of them right, but you know, I'm still putting both of them on that list because they're very much Packers-y type players. Same thing later. I had Edgerrin Cooper. I also had Peyton Wilson. You know, so they were both on that list. Of course, there was never a world in which they were going to take both of them, but they did take Edgerrin Cooper. And then, of course, it basically makes the Peyton Watson, you know, opportunity null and void. There's going to be a variety of these today. We're going to go through four or five guys that could be taken in the first round, where, of course, Green Bay will maybe take one of them, but they could go in a different direction as well. There's a world where the top four guys that I'm about to go over on this list are all gone by pick 23. And then you become, you know, have this very interesting situation as well. So this is an inexact science. I'm not trying to exactly predict it. I'm trying to get you the guys that make the most sense as Green Bay Packers, whether they move up, stay where they are, move down, and then kind of go through these players all throughout the draft. This is not first round centric. We're going to go through guys that are taken in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds, kind of all throughout the course of this draft. I'll say one more time, I think it's a little bit harder this year with only three top 100 picks and trying to figure out, again, what kind of players they're going to pick. Although I do think it's a little bit easier this year that there are really sort of a narrow group of positions that they're probably targeting: defensive end, defensive tackle, corner, offensive line, and wide receiver being those positions. So without further ado, the order of these 25 today are their order on the consensus big board. So they're in order of, you know, likely to be drafted, not necessarily their order of likeliness to be a Green Bay Packer. Let me put it that way. Number one on my list is 12th on the consensus big board. That is cornerback Will Johnson out of Michigan. 6 foot one and a half, 194 pounds, does not have a relative athletic score, did not do any testing. He's returning from injury, which is going to be noteworthy. Had a 76.5 PFF grade on 279 snaps, 22 years old. There's no metrics to tell us if he's a perfect Packers type or not. We just have to kind of go based off the tape. So that is what makes this, again, part of this very difficult. There's a lot of these players that just did not do testing for a variety of reasons. They didn't want to, or they didn't do complete testing, or they were injured, or just all of it, right? So that makes this a little bit more complicated as well. I can't get over this idea in my head of Will Johnson being the pick at 23. I've thought from day one that as soon as I watched his film, both this year and last year, I'm like, I don't see that as like a top 10 guy in this draft. Like I could see him being a player that falls. Corner is one of those positions that has some extreme volatility with it. Go back to Kalen King, who Green Bay took in the seventh round last year. Now I want to be clear. I'm not saying, you know, Will Johnson's going to fall to the seventh round or anything like that, but Kalen King was supposed to be a top tier draft pick. You know what, in 2023, doesn't come out in 2023, plays 2024, has a tough year, and then all of a sudden he's a seventh round pick. Now, he was probably just overhyped to a large extent in 2023, was probably never going to really be in that first, second, third round range, but maybe second or third round a little bit more, but probably not first round range. But he comes back, has a really bad season, doesn't test the greatest, and all of a sudden he's a seventh round pick. Like corner has these type of stories all the time. We're going to talk about another one later who's kind of the reverse of this. And so while I think Will Johnson was, again, very high thought of and, you know, one of the best corners in the nation in 2023, in 2024, you know, he had, I thought, a rather pedestrian start. He did have that great pick six early in the year, but a pedestrian start, didn't quite look the same, then gets hurt, doesn't do testing. And I think he potentially falls a little bit. Now, again, I'm not saying seventh round. I'm saying maybe, I don't know, pick 23. And if he's there at pick 23, and if you get to a scenario where Michael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Derek Harmon, you know, and some of these big defensive players up front, you know, maybe some of the offensive linemen, we'll see what happens at wide receiver, but those players are gone. But Will Johnson's there at 23. I think there's just a really strong chance that he's the pick. I think he'd immediately come in and be in the conversation for a starting, you know, cornerback spot. I think you probably look at Johnson and Nixon as your corners on the outside, within Hobbs and Barron probably rotating a little bit on the slot. And then, you know, Valentine would be, you know, in the, you know, more of like the dime kind of consideration. But I just don't know that they would pass on him. I like Will Johnson. I think he's got great ball skills. I think he fits perfectly in Jeff Hafley's defense. I think when you add in the height, he doesn't have great, you know, like deep speed. Like that's obviously the big question. I think it's going to be good enough. I think his size helps him with that a little bit. You know, he's a good tackler and again, has the playmaking as well. And this Green Bay defense, for as good as they were, obviously Xavier McKinney, high-end playmaker, right? I think Adrian Cooper is really going to turn into that as well. Two players that they obviously acquired last year. I think this defense with Jeff Hafley has the ability to create turnovers. And the more players that you have that knack for finding those turnovers, I think you're going to be in a great spot. And Will Johnson would certainly give them that at corner if they went that direction in round one. So Will Johnson's number one. Number two, Michael Williams, defensive end, Georgia, 15th on the consensus big board, was in for a top 30 visit, 6'5", 260 pounds, no relative athletic score either, 78.4 PFF grade on 402 snaps, is only 20 years old, turns 21 in June, 90th percentile height, 54th percentile weight, 75th percentile 40-yard dash with a 90th percentile 10-yard split. We don't know all the metrics. My guess is that he would have met all the metrics pretty easily. To me, he is very much in play if he's there at 23. I initially did my list and I did not have Michael Williams on it, not because I don't think he's their type. I've gone on record already and I'll say it again. If Michael Williams is there at 23, I think he's just a pick. I'll be, unless Shamar Stewart's there and they have to decide between the two, or unless, again, maybe somebody like a Will Johnson or who knows? Maybe there could be one of those guys that maybe falls and maybe it's a little bit more of a conversation, but I'll still say it. I think if Michael Williams is there at pick 23, he's just the selection by Green Bay. He'd immediately come in and be playable at defensive end, really good run defender with pass rush upside. I think he would be a no-brainer for Green Bay at pick 23. So almost kept him off only because I didn't think he was going to be there. If he's there, I think they take him. Number three, Shamar Stewart, defensive end, Texas A&M, 16th on the consensus big board, was in for a top 30 visit as well. And some of you might be saying, oh, well, top 30 visit, that means they're not going to go in that direction. Usually they don't bring in their first round picks for top 30 visits. Maybe Jordan Love was in for a top 30 visit. So like you never quite know for sure. And I do think some of these guys, they probably do just want a check on. Obviously, somebody like Michael Williams had an ankle injury this past year. I think they probably wanted to check on that. Shamar Stewart, probably just getting to know the player a little bit better. He was a player that everyone knows is a freak athlete, but didn't have the production. So you maybe want to figure out how he ticks a little bit, get to know their personality, and just to know if he can live up to all the incredible hype of the insane attributes and traits that he has as a pass rusher. But in for a top 30 visit, 6'5", 267, 10.0 relative athletic score, but did not do the bench press or the agility testing. Had he done the agility testing, he probably wouldn't have been a 10, but he's probably at least in that 90th percentile range or better without much question. Had a 79.6 grade on 521 snaps this past year. Is 21 years old, turns 22 in November. He is the ultimate Packers type. You know it, I know it, we all know it. High-end traits. Didn't quite have the production that I think anyone would have wanted him to have. Probably the only reason he's in play at 23 is because he did not have that level of production. Had he matched the production with the traits, he's a top five guy in this class, in my opinion. Like we're talking about those top four or five guys, and Shamar Stewart, we're talking about very much in that conversation, had the production matched the traits. It just unfortunately did not. I think they played him a little bit out of position. I think he is a dream type Packers pick, and I think he comes in good enough run defender from day one. And I think he's going to be somebody who can create a little havoc, that he's not going to have consistent double teams on him. They're actually going to play him on the outside, unlike Texas A&M did. And I think you're going to see him take off in a pretty significant way in a system that better fits him in the NFL. So number three, Shamar Stewart. Number four is Derek Harmon, defensive tackle out of Oregon, 24th on the consensus big board, 6'4", 313 pounds. Does not have a relative athletic score, but was 90th percentile height, 82nd percentile weight, and 88th percentile 40-yard dash, an 84.0 PFF grade on 591 snaps, is 21 years old, will turn 22 in August. Would seem like he's a Packers type, but again, not enough testing to make that clarification for sure. He's a future number 1A defensive tackle for this team, immediately would help as a pass rusher, good enough as a run defender, and I think he's going to be able to come in and, you know, I don't know that I would say like have this immense impact, but he's going to be a plus player for them. At minimum, a solid rotational piece that's not going to hurt them in any way. And I think probably something better than that. And that's just like first year defensive tackle. It takes a little bit of time sort of stuff. In time, I expect him to be the best interior defensive lineman on this line if that's the direction that they go in. Again, good run defender, really high upside as a pass rusher. He just fits everything that they need along that defensive line, that they look for at the position. And if he's there, I think there's a real solid chance that they take him at pick 23. Number five is Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle out of Ohio State. 43rd on the consensus big board. He might be in a little bit of no man's land where he goes right in those, that like mid to late 30s range, where it's, you know, Green Bay is not going to move 23 into that range, but they're also not going to move, you know, from the 50s into that range either. So he might just go in an area of the draft that's really difficult for Green Bay to sort of get to, which sometimes just happens. But whether it's, you know, he goes a little bit earlier than expected or a little bit later than expected, this is a player that I would expect Green Bay to have a lot of interest in. Again, 43rd on the consensus big board, was in for a top 30 visit, 6'3", 334 pounds, no relative athletic score, 60th percentile height, 96th percentile weight, 79.2 PFF grade on 586 snaps, turned 22 years old just in February. He's an athletic nose tackle. Not enough metrics to know for sure if he would make all of Green Bay's qualifications, but my guess is that he would. He'd be an immediate run defense help. I think he would allow Kenny to play a little bit more at the three technique, and I think you're getting a significant upgrade to TJ Slayton, plus much higher upside if you were to go with Tyleek Williams, a player I really, really like in this draft. Number six is another tough one because he's coming off of injury, but it's Benjamin Morrison, the corner out of Notre Dame. 46th on the consensus big board, 6 foot tall, 193 pounds, no relative athletic score, but 80th percentile height, 70th percentile weight, and 85th percentile bench press. 71.4 PFF grade on 314 snaps this past year, has had multiple hip injuries. So that's going to be something that he has to clear Green Bay's medical testing. But if he does, I expect him to be somebody that they're very interested in. Just turned 21 in March. Again, there's not enough testing to know for sure if he's a Packers type, but he certainly looks it on tape. He is a scheme fit. He can play outside. He's young, athletic, willing tackler. To me, he comes in and competes right away as an outside corner. And again, I think he's a very fun, movable piece within Jeff Hafley's defense and somebody that I think would have a lot of success playing this style of Jeff Hafley defense. All right, number seven is a player that everyone's discussed a ton. That is Jaden Higgins, wide receiver out of Iowa State. 49th on the consensus big board, was a Senior Bowl attendee. And why I say if they're Senior Bowl attendees is Green Bay, remember, loves their Senior Bowl guys. That's something that they take quite a few of. And so if they have attended the Senior Bowl, that's usually a good sign for them as well. They've attended the Senior Bowl, they're at a position of need and are a freak athlete. You're in a really good spot. Well, hello, Jaden Higgins. 6'4", 214, 9.63 relative athletic score, did not do the bench press, 90.5 PFF grade on 741 snaps, 22 years old, turns 23 in December. He's a Packers type all day, every day. This is a sort of dream Green Bay Packer when you look at him athletically. He's an outside wide receiver, and with Christian Watson being hurt, he immediately brings a different sort of outside wide receiver to Green Bay's offense. There is some obviously deep ball ability, but he is more of a possession wide receiver that can make some things happen pre-snap, again, down the field, and then, pre-throw, like, again, getting open down the field, but also after the catch. Athletically, everything that they look for. And I mean, everything that they look for. And this one, by the way, I will say, I think is a little bit more of a, hey, we're not going to bring this guy in for a top 30 visit because we don't want people to know just how much we like this guy. My guess is they probably like this guy a absolute ton and are trying to hide that as best as possible. Number eight, JT Tuamalu, defensive end, Ohio State. 53rd on the consensus big board, 6'4", 265 pounds, 9.33 relative athletic score, did not do a 40 or the three cone, was an 86.2 PFF grade on 667 snaps, 21 years old, turns 22 in May, is a Packers again type all day, every day, and immediately would come in and be a pass rusher. I'm going to say this about JTT. I'm not convinced that JTT cannot come in and have a better season and or career than Mykel Williams, Shamar Stewart, Donovan Ezeraku, any of them. I think that highly of him. Now, I like Shamar Stewart a lot. I like Mykel Williams a lot. I love Donovan Ezeraku. I like all three of those guys. But I think if you could have JTT in the second round, I feel as good about that pick as I do about anyone that they could get at defensive end in the first round, save for, you know, probably Abdul Carter at that point. I think he fits everything that Green Bay looks for. I think he brings an attacking mentality. He's a really good pass rusher. He's only going to get better. He's just starting to hit the peak of his powers and kind of put together the play style that I think he knows that he can win with. There's so much upside here. And if they could find a way, you know, maybe like if you could find a way to get Harmon in the first and then JTT in the second, or again, maybe it's a Will Johnson or a My goodness, like, if it could be like a Jahdae Barron in the first round, you know, maybe it's a wide receiver. Maybe it's a Tet McMillan or a Matthew Golden, and then JTT in the second round. I think if you could get him there, it opens up so many different things that could make this draft really successful. And again, he's right around where Green Bay's taking, you know, picking in the second round. Maybe they need to move up, you know, 5-8 picks to go get him because they like him that much. But this to me would be one where you could do so much with this draft if you could get him in the second round. And I would be beyond thrilled if that would be the case. Number 9, TJ Sanders, defensive tackle, South Carolina, 55th on the consensus big board, was in for a top 30 visit, 6'4", 297 pounds, 9.38, excuse me, relative athletic score, did not do the bench press, 82.4 PFF grade on 468 snaps, 21 years old, turns 22 in July, a tier one Packers type at defensive tackle, would immediately come in and get spots as a three technique, a rotational pass rusher. To me, he's a serviceable run defender. And I would question a little bit if this would potentially be a Devontae Wyatt replacement. I think if you do take him, I wonder if they have the appetite to still pay Wyatt a good chunk of money, knowing that you would have Sanders coming in, plus you still have Wooden and Carl Brooks as well. It would kind of make things a little bit interesting. The same thing would go for a Walter Nolan or anyone else that they took at a potential more of like a three technique spot. So that would make things very interesting for Wyatt. But either way, this is a very much Packers type. I've seen a lot of people suggest that he's just going to be the pick in the second round. I think he could be. I'm a little less sold on it. I wonder if they want to go three technique that high, just because like they have players there right now. And if they want to keep Devontae Wyatt, there isn't quite as much need. But listen, they need pass rush. They can, you know, look at it in any way that they want. But, you know, Sanders being a good run defender with some upside as a pass rusher, I could easily see him being the type that they like in the second round with their pick there. Number 10, I've talked about a player that I love, Jack Besh, wide receiver, TCU. 68th on the consensus big board, was a Senior Bowl participant, 6'1", 214 pounds, 9.51 relative athletic score, did not do the 40-yard dash, 83.3 PFF grade on 692 snaps, 22 years old, will turn 23 in December, did not do the 40, but would have been a perfect Packers type on everything else. And if he did the 40, he still would have met that metric, would be my guess. So no real concern there. I think he'd provide immediate help at wide receiver. I think he could play multiple positions, outside, inside. I've seen people say Jordy Nelson. I've seen people say Puka Nacua. I think he's a little bit more his own guy, but I do think he is really, really talented, can win at all levels of the field, and I think he's just going to get better as time goes on. This, again, if they could find a way to get Jack Besh, I would be beyond thrilled. Love this player. Think he's exactly what Green Bay could use at wide receiver. Number 11 is Elik Eomanar, wide receiver out of Stanford, 70th on the consensus big board, 6'1.5", 206 pounds, 9.71 relative athletic score, did not do the agility testing, was a 74.4 PFF grade on 780 snaps, 21 years old, turns 22 in June, didn't do the three cone, but hits all other Packers metrics for wide receiver. He's a good run blocker, outside wide receiver, plenty of speed. To me, he's not a complete wide receiver yet, but he gives them a true outside threat that can run block, come in and produce, maybe produce is strong, but come in and help out, play snaps right away. And then I think there is some high-end upside that he can develop there as well. I like other wide receiver options more than Eomanar, but I think it's foolhardy to think that he's not a Packers type. So despite him, again, not being necessarily my favorite flavor of wide receiver, I think he's definitely somebody that Green Bay is very much going to like and could easily be in play. I hope more in the third round. I would be a little bit disappointed / bummed if he was the second round pick, but again, he's the type of wide receiver that they generally look for. Number 12 is Darian Porter, the corner out of Iowa State, 71st on the consensus big board, Senior Bowl participant, 6'3", 195 pounds, a 9.99 relative athletic score, and the only thing he did not do was bench press. 79.4 grade per PFF on 426 snaps, is 24 years old, but he is by far and away to me the most Packers-y corner in this draft. Tall outside corner would give Green Bay a totally different type of corner that they don't currently have on the roster. He is a super freak athlete amongst super freak athletes, also has special teams value, has 4 career blocked punts. He took forever and a day. He was a 6-year senior, and it wasn't until his final year that he actually got starting reps. So this is a player that, again, did not come in and exactly tear it up in his early college career, but you want to talk about somebody that hits every athletic thing that Green Bay looks for. The 9.99 RAS is not a joke. He is a freak at everything. It is remarkable. I don't think his change of direction plays on tape quite as well, but his three cone and short shuttle were out of this world, like true alien stuff. He is remarkable and how talented that he is, but very much a Packers type. I like this tape too, just basically engulfs, you know, wide receivers, and it just creates these very small passing windows. Cause he's also got just like long arms for days too. Just total alien in all the best ways for Darian Porter. Number 13 is Jordan Birch, defensive end out of Oregon, 72nd on the consensus big board, was in for a top 30 visit, 6'4", 279 pounds, no relative athletic score, 74th percentile height, 88th percentile weight, 91st percentile in the 40-yard dash, was a 77.6 grade per PFF on 428 snaps, is 23 years old, turns 24 in October. Again, not enough metrics because he didn't do enough testing, but he feels very much like the big outside speed, height, weight, strength defensive end that Green Bay definitely likes and has been a huge part of their formula in the Brian Gutekunst era. Again, height, weight, speed with physicality, rotational defensive end should come in and compete right away. And I like him probably more almost as an immediate guy than probably somebody even like Kingsley Nigbari. I think that gives you some real size, bulk, and strength at that defensive end position with Gary, LVN, Birch, Breton Cox, and then, you know, Enigbari is kind of your little bit of a different type than you have. I'd like maybe a little bit more of a, you know, Ezeraku or somebody's maybe got a little bit more speed, but I really do like Birch, and I do think he is a fit within this team. Number 14 is Joshua Farmer, defensive tackle out of Florida State, 79th on the consensus big board, Senior Bowl participant, 6'3", 305 pounds, 7.89 relative athletic score, but did not do the agility testing, 64.3 PFF grade on 513 snaps, just turned 22 in January. Fits Green Bay is their profile for defensive tackles. It's a little bit questionable with, again, him being a three technique. The RAS isn't quite eight or above. Did not do agility testing. I think he's close enough on everything, but there's a couple question marks there, a couple asterisks there that maybe could make him a little less appetizing to Green Bay. To me, he is a developmental three technique who would not come in and make an immediate impact. Think he needs some work from the ground up. Think you probably let Wyatt and, you know, Wooden and Clark and Brooks kind of handle that three technique spot a little bit more this year, but you're hoping that the upside hits, and the upside is pretty tremendous for Joshua Farmer. A lot of traits, a lot of upside, not a lot of production, and it's probably going to take a hot second for him to kind of figure out how to play in the NFL at that spot, especially as a run defender. That's going to take a little bit of time. Number 15, Jalen Royals, wide receiver out of Utah State, 83rd on the consensus big board, Senior Bowl participant, 6'205", 9.01 relative athletic score, and he did everything. The rare player. Thank you, Jalen Royals. Thank you for doing every test imaginable. We appreciate that a ton. 79.6 PFF grade on 462 snaps. Turned 22 just in February. It's everything that Green Bay looks for at wide receiver. Is an outside wide receiver, can also play in the slot. He's just a good wide receiver. I don't think there's anything that he does spectacular or great. I don't think he's this special sort of talent. He's just good at everything, and he's very much a fit for Green Bay at wide receiver. Number 16, Torrey Horton, wide receiver out of Colorado State, 108th on the consensus big board, was in for a top 30 visit, 6'2", 196 pounds, 9.83 relative athletic score, but did not do agility testing or the bench press. 82.3 PFF grade on 203 snaps, 22 years old, turns 23 in November. It's everything that Green Bay looks for at wide receiver, but did not do the three cone, which if Green Bay didn't like his agility, then maybe it would be a red flag. But other than that, he hits everything. He's an outside wide receiver with traits, needs some refinement. I think he'd mostly be a depth piece in 2025, somebody that you wouldn't necessarily be expecting to come in and make any sort of real immediate impact. But he does have everything that Green Bay looks for, and I think he does have the ability to develop into maybe a number two, number three wide receiver in the league over time. Tavion Jones, defensive end out of LSU, comes in at number 17, 120th on the big board. Senior Bowl participant, 6'5", 280, 9.20 relative athletic score, but did not do the agility drills. 75.0 grade on 639 snaps. 21 years old, turns 22 in July. Again, hits everything that Green Bay looks for as a pass rusher. He would immediately be a rotational defensive end. More traits than production at this point in time, but height, weight, speed, strength, Green Bay's type of defensive end, no question about it. This would be one where maybe they didn't get a defensive end on day one or two, and now day three, they really need to pick one, and then Savion Jones is there. Or maybe they don't get one in rounds one or two, but maybe get one in round three, but aren't maybe satisfied with it. So maybe they double up and go early round four. Could see a couple of those scenarios there, but either way, Savion Jones, definitely the type of defensive end that they look for. Number 18, Caleb Rogers, offensive lineman out of Texas Tech. 144th on the consensus big board, Senior Bowl participant, 6'4 and a half, 312 pounds, was a 9.03 relative athletic score at offensive tackle, but a 9.70 relative athletic score at guard. 73.8 grade on 1,025 snaps this past year, is 23 years old, will turn 24 in October, is a A++ Packers type of offensive lineman, probably a tackle to interior offensive line convert, which we know that is exactly their type of draft and develop offensive lineman that they have a ton of success with. If you look at the athletic profiles for Caleb Rogers, it is all like really good, like NFL players. It's remarkable. Even at tackle, it was like Trent Williams. To me, he is a developmental offensive lineman making the move inside to the interior. He is a Packers type as a draft and develop piece that I think would become a good starter over time. Number 19 is Logan Brown, offensive tackle out of Kansas, 147th on the consensus big board, Senior Bowl participant, 6'6", 311 pounds, 9.50 relative athletic score, 83.4 PFF grade on 618 snaps, just turned 24 years old this past week, so a little bit older. Hits everything Green Bay looks for along the offensive line, is a former Wisconsin Badger. Had some weird things where he like kind of left Wisconsin that Green Bay left to look into a little bit, but a immediate depth piece along the offensive line that I think becomes a swing tackle in short order and has the upside to become a starter down the road. Number 20 is a very interesting one. Jackson Hawes, probably not a player that a ton of people are talking about as a potential Green Bay Packers pick, but Jackson Hawes, tight end out of Georgia Tech, 163 on the consensus big board, was a Senior Bowl participant, 6'4", 253 pounds, 7.23 relative athletic score, did not do the three cone. So not your usual 90th percentile athlete here. A 68.5 PFF grade on 563 snaps, is 24 years old and is going to turn 25 in December. Green Bay's all over the place at tight end with like what they usually look for. Like they kind of take a little bit of everything at tight end. Usually they look 8.0 or better. Again, he's 7.23. But here's the big thing with Jackson Hawes. He is a really good blocking tight end, and I think has the ability to develop into one of the better blocking tight ends. Plus has a good enough athletic profile that he doesn't profile as just somebody that's like a blocking tight end and is useless as a receiver. I think there's some upside there down the road. Not as a top tight end or anything like that, but as somebody that you can use as a blocking tight end, but now all of a sudden they go, you know, play action and he seeps out and he's going to be able to have some run after the catch ability. He's a good enough athlete to do kind of that sort of stuff. So played at Georgia Tech. If you know, they did a lot of running in that offense, was a small school player before that. Really, really fun player. And again, I think would come in and immediately give Green Bay that blocking tight end that they are looking for. Number 21 is Isaac Tesla, wide receiver out of Arkansas, 165th on the big board, Senior Bowl participant, 6'3 and a half, 214, 9.93 relative athletic score, and did everything. A 99th percentile athlete, 69.3 PFF grade on 425 snaps, turned 23 in February, complete Packers type. You have your Jeff Janis 2.0. All the traits in the world, just pure unbelievable upside with special teams potential that hasn't put it together as a wide receiver. They're not apples to apples comparisons as to, you know, to one another, but you're basically getting a new version of Jeff Janis to see if this version can turn out. The last one did not. He had everything that you needed, did have quite the Hail Mary catch though. But outside of that, I think Tesla again has the ability to be a big time special teams guy with certainly some upside there at wide receiver as well. Number 22 is one I really like and I think is a really great fit. I'm going to go on a limb and say Green Bay takes them. Who knows? But I like this one on this board a lot. That is Caleb Ransaw, defensive back out of Tulane, 169th on the PFF big board, was a Senior Bowl participant, 5'11", 197 pounds, 9.75 relative athletic score at corner, 9.32 relative athletic score at safety, 65.6 PFF grade on 529 snaps, turned 22 in December, a top Packers type at corner. He's a versatile defensive back, projects as a good special teamer, has played inside in the slot, outside at corner, They also dabbled with him at the Senior Bowl at safety. He's also done a little bit of like nickel linebacker work. You want to talk about somebody who really fits this Jeff Hafley scheme. And as they almost seem again to be getting closer and closer to almost like positionless football in the secondary, Ransoff fits very, very well. Plus has the high-end athleticism, is very fast. Like he just fits. Plus the special teams guy, at least projected to be. I think this is a very, very possible pick for Green Bay as they try to fill those number 5 and 6 cornerback spots on the depth chart through probably the later stages of the draft. Number 23, we've talked about Donovan Ezeraku a lot, about his time at Boston College and how it makes sense that he might be back with Jeff Hafley. Probably haven't talked about the guy that even makes more sense, and that's Cam Horsley, defensive tackle out of Boston College, 220th on the consensus big board, 6'2.5", 312 pounds, 8.54 relative athletic score, did everything, 79.8 PFF grade on 465 snaps, just turned 23 in February. It's everything that Green Bay looks for at defensive tackle, plus as the Jeff Hafley and the Vince Ogabossier connections, is a run-stopping defensive tackle. So even if they get their pass rusher like a Derek Harmon or one of those guys early in the draft, they still need their TJ Slayton replacement. Hello, you just got your TJ Slayton replacement. He's going to be more your run defender. I think he could come in, again, knows the defense basically already from working with Jeff Hafley in the past. This makes all the sense in the world as a later round defensive tackle that Green Bay has familiarity with Hafley working with him already, with Ogabossi working with him already. Very, very logical choice there if Green Bay could get him at some point in day 3. Number 24 is Fadil Diggs, defensive end out of Syracuse, 272 on the consensus big board, 6'4", 257, 9.36 relative athletic score, did not do a 3-cone, 74.7 PFF grade on 657 snaps, is 23 years old, just turned 24, or will turn 24 in October, excuse me. Hits almost everything, just ever so slightly below the weight and the arm length. So, he could probably put on 3 pounds to get to that 260, not a big deal. His arms probably can't grow, but they're a fourth of an inch short, basically, from where Green Bay likes it. So nothing too crazy. And certainly when you start talking about the 7th round, nothing that would hold him back from being selected by the Packers. To me, he'd have the opportunity to make the team as a late round pick. Defensive end with some pass rush upside, great speed, desired traits, 2-time team captain, good intangibles. The type of guy that you look for late in the draft that you think can come in, still make an impact, and maybe find his way as a rotational edge rusher in Green Bay. Last but not least, number 25, Eli Cox, center out of Kentucky, 288th on the consensus big board, 6'4", 306, 9.90 relative athletic score, did everything. His athletic comp is Creed Humphrey. Here they go. They can make up for the missed Creed Humphrey pick a few years ago, and now they get their Creed Humphrey and Eli Cox in the 7th round in this draft. Now, no, he's not Creed Humphrey. The tape does not exactly match, but athletically, he's Creed Humphrey. 65.2 PFF grade on 768 snaps, 24 years old, does turn 25 in October, so he's a little bit overaged. It's everything that they look for, except he never played tackle and is probably just a center only. He almost even looks like Josh Myers. Like you just like how he legitimately looks, not on tape, like his actual face. He would give them center depth immediately. SEC player with lots of experience, with great traits that hasn't quite put it together yet. I know he's probably more of like a center only, but you've got a lot of versatility on that offensive line already. I don't think you let that hold you back when you're talking about picking somebody in the 6th or 7th round. I think he would make a lot of sense for Green Bay later in the draft. 3 honorable mentions. Didn't quite make my list. I had CJ West on my list, and the 6'1", I just can't get there. CJ West, defensive tackle out of Indiana, 104th on the consensus big board, 6'1", 316, 9.16 relative athletic score, 83.9 PFF grade on 420 snaps, is 22 years old, turns 23 in June. It's everything that Green Bay looks for, except he's only 6'1". And you watch him play, and you're just like, Green Bay hasn't had that type of player. Maybe they break their sort of height trends for him, but he also has short arms. Like at the height, I wasn't going to do anything with, but then he also has short arms. And I'm like, I don't see that being Green Bay's type, but he's close with everything else. He's a good run defender, great and really fun tape at Indiana. Just couldn't quite get there. So he's an honorable mention. And then I'm going to give you 2 other ones. I'm not going to go into great detail, but Savone Revel and then Walter Nolan. I can't quite say no to either of them. And I do wonder if like all of a sudden Harmon and Michael Williams and Shamar Stewart and Will Johnson and all those guys are gone in round one, do they just take Walter Nolan? I think they might. I think they could if he's there. So I'm going to use him as an honorable mention. And then the other one is Savone Revel. I think Savone Revel is a red herring. Like, I think there's this buzz out there that Green Bay has a lot of interest in Savone Revel, and like he could be the pick. I think he could be the pick in round two. I don't think he can be the pick in round one. He's overaged, small school, two things Green Bay doesn't do a ton of, that early in the draft, at least. Plus, he's coming off a major injury. Plus, I think he's probably in that no man's land area as well, where he kind of goes probably late 30s, early 40s, where again, at 23, you're not getting him. In the 50s, you're probably not getting him. So I can't get there. Again, I think he's a fake, you know, likely pick for the Packers. And I think the Packers might be leaking out there that, yeah, it's, you know, Savone Revel, definitely. Green Bay has a lot of interest. I can't quite get there, but I also don't want to ignore all the buzz either. So maybe the buzz is right, but that'd be the only reason why I think maybe they'd go in that direction. I mean, he's a good player too. Don't get me wrong, but I can't quite get there just from their usual types as to him being a top potential option, but won't rule it out. Going to use him as an honorable mention. So just to recap everything, my top 25 from highest on the consensus draft board to lowest: Will Johnson, corner out of Michigan; Michael Williams, defensive end out of Georgia; Shamar Stewart, defensive end out of Texas A&M; Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon; Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle out of Ohio State; Benjamin Morrison, corner out of Notre Dame; Jaden Higgins, wide receiver out of Iowa State; JT Tuamalu, defensive end out of Ohio State; TJ Sanders, defensive tackle out of South Carolina; Jack Besh, wide receiver out of TCU; Eluk Aominar, wide receiver out of Stanford; Darian Porter, corner out of Iowa State; Jordan Birch, defensive end out of Oregon; Joshua Farmer, defensive tackle out of Florida State; Jalen Royals, wide receiver out of Utah State; Torrey Horton, wide receiver out of Colorado State. A lot of states. Savion Jones, defensive end out of LSU; Caleb Rogers, offensive line out of Texas Tech; Logan Brown, offensive tackle out of Kansas; Jackson Hawes, tight end out of Georgia Tech; Isaac Tesla, wide receiver out of Arkansas; Caleb Ransaw, defensive back out of Tulane; Cam Horsley, defensive tackle out of Boston College; Fadil Diggs, defensive end out of Syracuse; and Eli Cox, center out of Kentucky, with honorable mentions: CJ West, defensive tackle out of Indiana; Savone Revel, corner out of ECU; and then Walter Nolan, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss. So if you're looking at like the ranges of like these picks, all right, with pick 23, Will Johnson, Michael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Derek Harmon, and Walter Nolan, all in that range. At pick 54, Tyleek Williams, Benjamin Morrison, Jaden Higgins, JT Tuamalu, TJ Sanders, Jack Besh, and Savone Revel. Again, those are all in that probably second round range. Third round at pick 87, Eluk Aominar, Darian Porter, Jordan Birch, Josh Farmer, and Jalen Royals, all kind of in that 87th-ish range. 124, CJ West, Torrey Horton, and Savion Jones, all in kind of that fourth round range. In the fifth round, Caleb Rogers, Logan Brown, Jackson Hawes, Isaac Tesla, and Caleb Ramsaw. And then in the sixth round, Cam Horsley. And in the seventh round, Eli Cox and Fadil Diggs. That's what we're looking at. That's where I think Green Bay could potentially be targeting. We'll see. Again, we got, what do we get right? Three and a half, right, I'm going to say, in 2023. LVN Wicks and Kraft with DuBose as an honorable mention. And then last year we had Morgan Cooper, Bullard, Oladapo, and then Donovan Jennings is a practice squad guy. So I'll give myself 4.5. I would be very happy if we could get four guys that are on this list that ultimately become Packers for a variety of reasons. One, I think there's a lot of good players on this list. Number two, would be happy that we are able to find four out of their, you know, as of right now, 8 draft picks. Again, it's going to be tougher this year. We'll see if we can do it, and we'll see if we get some of these right come draft time. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members: Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, Ian Houle, and Matt Geiger. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.